Good morning again, in case you missed it earlier. So I was really excited, and I still am, about doing this when Pastor David asked me to do this. You know, and like the adult that I am, the first thing that I did was call my mom and tell her that I was doing this, because I was really excited. And next thing you know, I'm talking to my sister a couple weeks later, and oh yeah, mom told me that you're going to do this. And, you know, one thing led to another. My mom told my aunts and uncles, my sister told my cousins, and sooner or later, like, everyone knows now. Everyone knows that I'm doing this. My parents and my sister and my niece are able to be here this morning. They're over there if you want to say hi after the service. Or right now. unfortunately, my other family isn't able to come, but that's okay. So I was thinking about that and just like how fast everyone came to know that I was doing this. And, you know, I don't know if it was conviction or some other kind of feeling, but I just was thinking to myself, how often am I aware, or how often do I see myself doing that with the gospel? Like, how excited am I about the gospel, that, like, other people can see it? My excitement radiates, and it just goes everywhere. I just start telling everyone. And so my first question that I have for you all today, just to think about, is how often do you get so excited about sharing the gospel that other people start to share it too? And it says in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, that we do need to share the gospel. So if you want to turn there, we'll go ahead and read it soon. And that's also known as the Great Commission, where Jesus is telling the disciples that they need to go and make disciples of all nations. And it's a really dense passage, so we're not going to get as dense as we could, but we're not going to unpack it as much as we can. But let's go ahead and turn there. And I'll turn there with you. It's a really great piece of scripture to get familiar with if you don't already know it by heart. So I'll go ahead and read it with you guys. It reads, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age.'" And so with that, I want to point out, I guess, three points. Wanted to do a little bit of alliteration, and so there are three D's of the Great Commission. And so the first one is directed. And so in verse 16, Jesus had directed them to the mountain. I'm going to read verse 16 with you guys. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had directed them." And so I was just kind of asking myself, is this like direction? Like, is he giving them directions? Like, go here, then turn left, go right, or whatever. Or is he telling them to do this? So I think it's both and. He is telling them to go here so that he can command them to make disciples of all nations, but he's also guiding them. He's guiding them there just like he guides us wherever we go. Like, he guided me here today to share with you guys this message. Also, in the NIV, I'm using the ESV, and NIV it says told, so he is in fact telling them to. So next question for you guys is, where do you find the Lord directing you to share his story? And are you being obedient? This is not a suggestion that he's giving us. It's not like he's saying, maybe you should go here, maybe you should go share the gospel with this person if you want to. No, that's not how it is. You need to, because he commands us to. And so going on to the second D in verse 17, he says, doubted. And I'll read that one again with you too. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So first they saw, and then they worshipped, but only some doubted. But I want to unpack the word doubted a little bit. So they all wanted to believe, but their faith was a little bit weak. And so if you want to turn here, you can. Matthew 14, 28 through 33. This is a passage where Jesus is walking on water, and Peter also walks on water. He walks on water with him. And so, let's see. Verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, it's you. Command me to come to you on the water. He's wanting to believe. He's wanting to believe that it's him. Verse 29. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. So he did. Verse 30. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. So that's the moment when he started to doubt. That is the moment when Peter started to sink. He doubted and he sank. Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got on the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So what keeps you from sharing the gospel? What is your doubt? We don't want to sink. Sometimes we do, obviously. We've all had that moment when we think we need to share the gospel. We just have that push to share the gospel with somebody, and then we don't. We hide. But we shouldn't. We need to do what Peter did and, like, ask for help. Ask Jesus to save you from that doubt. So, yes, what is your doubt? Also, when you're in that moment of doubt, think to yourself, ask yourself the very important question, what's more important to you? This person's salvation, this person's potential life of eternity with Jesus, or your own pride, your own embarrassment? And something that, like, always sticks to my heart is something that Rusty says all the time, and I think I find myself saying it more now than I hear him say it, but how much do you have to hate a person to keep the best thing in the world from them, to keep the gospel from them? So I want to let that sit with you guys, and just to think about it. Yeah, I want to move on now and go backward a little bit to the verse. It says, but then only some doubted. The word some implies that there are others who did believe, so they didn't doubt. Be those some. They were believing everything that they saw. They were followers. They were willing to take the risk and obey the Lord. And this is going back to the Great Commission in verse 17. There are times when we doubt. Don't let that prevent you from sharing the gospel. In verse 19, back to the Great Commission, it says, make disciples of all nations. This is the central command to make disciples. I want to share this quote with you guys. I got from a commentary from Stuart K. Weber, and it says, at the heart of our mission is the reproduction of others, in others, of what Jesus has produced in us. Faith, obedience, growth, authority, compassion, love, and a bold, truthful message as his witness. We are learners to produce more learners. So this is just saying we have learned throughout our lives, like if you're a believer, just what the gospel means to you. And you, as a believer, as a son and daughter of Christ, Your job is to share that with other people, to teach other people what the gospel is to you. And I think a great way to do that is to recite the gospel, not necessarily the whole thing, but just remind yourself of what the gospel is to you daily. This past summer, we unfortunately weren't able to take our youth group to Highland Lakes, but we did end up getting to go with our sister church, May FBC, and we did like a weekend retreat, and Shannon Hopkins was teaching that week. And one of the things that we did, an activity that we did, was we all sat down with all the kids, all the leaders, and he made us write up the gospel in one page, what the gospel meant to us. So we did that, and then after we did that, he said, okay, now write the gospel in one sentence. So we did that, and that was a little bit harder than writing it in one page. You should try it. And then after that, we wrote the gospel in one word, what it meant to us. And so I actually have mine right here. I keep it in my journal to remind myself. So I won't read you my whole page, but my sentence is, believing in Jesus' love and sacrifice brings us his kingdom. And then my one word is love. And so what that means is that the gospel for me is Jesus' love. That's what I have learned that is what my testimony has brought me. That is what I share to people when I'm sharing the gospel. You, if you are a son and daughter of Christ, if you are a believer, you yourself are a gospel presentation. Just being present with the people around you is being a gospel presentation. You just have to make sure you're being intentional about what you're doing. You have to be aware of your surroundings, aware of yourself, and aware of your people. So just try that. That's just my suggestion for today, just to come up with the gospel in one sentence. And just make sure it has Jesus in it, because he is the gospel. His life is the gospel. So if you fail to understand this final passage of Matthew, and of any of the other books, if you fail to understand this passage, you fail to understand the rest of the gospel. Because what's the point of knowing the gospel if you don't share it? I want to move on and talk about how he says, make disciples of all nations. So we think all nations, and I'm going to pull something that Pastor David pulls here, and just, if you think of something, say it out loud. So when you think of all nations, what do you think of? When someone tells you to go make disciples of all nations, what do you think? It's okay to say it out loud. Yeah. So we have everyone, missions. I will say, as a younger person, I used to think it meant leaving my house, leaving my hometown, leaving the States to go do that. So we think Honduras, we think Jamaica, we think China, Africa, all those places. All of those are great places to go that need people to share the gospel with them. However, the nations is also the United States. The nations is also Texas. The nations is Brownwood. It's the grocery store. It's your school. It's your cashier. It's your waitress. It's your boss. It's your coworker. The nations is Southside. The nations is the people here. So we cannot forget to share the gospel with everyone. Don't neglect the place where God has put you right now. I just read what I typed up, and I meant to say Taco Bell because I go there a lot, but the nations is also Taco Bell, you guys. So this is a really short message. And I was going to apologize for that, but I don't think that I need to. This is something, it's short, but it's something that we learned last week in one of our classes was that it's better to have a short message that's full of good news and just full of the good word than to have a longer message that's just full of nonsense. Also, with that, you might have to get an earlier lunch, so you're welcome. And so you might not be in a place where you can share the gospel yet. You might be in a place where you need to hear the gospel for the first time. So as our worship team is coming up, I'm going to pray with us. And as the song is playing, you know, if you need to hear the gospel for the first time, I'll be up here. And we have Mark up here too, and we have Rusty over there if you want to come talk to one of us to hear the gospel. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, thank you for the day, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to share your word, and thank you for speaking through me. Thank you for all the people who came just to listen to your word, God. I pray that they go out and they share your word, they share your gospel, God. Thank you for loving us most, and thank you for loving us first, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.